Chira de Siena of cars.co.za is with us to tackle your motoring questions and to give us some feedback on the new Toyota Fortuner Epic, as well as some positive news about investment in the motoring industry up in Pretoria. Chira, always great to have you with us. Welcome to the show. Sorry, I haven't pushed a button on my side. Let's try that again. Welcome, Chira.
Hello, I'm still here.
Okay, not trying to silence you deliberately, I promise. You've been driving the new Toyota Fortuner Epic, and this is one of the top-selling SUVs in the country and has been for a long time, the Fortuner brand. What's the new one like?
Yeah, that's true. The last time I checked, the Fortuner outsold everything else in its segment combined,
wow,
which is quite a feat. And that includes cars like the Ford Everest, Isuzu MU-X, Mitsubishi Pajero Sport. These are all what we call Bucky-based SUVs. So essentially, it's the running gear, the chassis of Buckys converted into SUVs. That might have changed since Ford launched some very competitive models in the Everest range. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, the Toyota seems to rule the roost. And they've just released an Epic and Epic Black version. Pricing is not too much above what it used to be, actually. Small jump up to $660,000 for the 2.8 Epic Auto. And largely, it is a cosmetic upgrade.
Okay.
So there's nothing too exciting to write home about in terms of the engine or the drivetrain or any of that. It's very much just cosmetic. But I must be honest, what they've done with the Epic Black, that really does make the car look quite good. It gets a unique nudge bar front and back, side sills, black two-tone roof as well with mirrors and black wheels. And it just sort of, I don't know, it adds a little bit of panache, I suppose, to the Fortuner offering, which, to be honest, has always confused me a bit, because I actually don't think the Fortuner is the best car in the segment. I think there's better value and sort of better driving experiences out there in the form of the Everest and the Isuzu MU-X, but South Africans do love the Toyota badge, and so the Fortuner continues to sell really well.
Okay, so from 660,000, I think the top spec goes up to about 740,000. And what do you make of the after sales service plan, Chiro? Is that something that holds up well by comparison to other models?
It's not great, and I've gone after VW and Toyota a few times on the show about their warranties, because 3-year warranty, in my opinion, in a market where some brands offering 5, 6, and 7-year warranties, to me, is just not long enough. I mean, you can extend the warranties at the point of purchase and you add it onto your financing deal, and then you don't really feel it too much and you get that extra cover. But I just think as a standard warranty, it's a bit poor. But then again, you know, people swear by the reliability of Toyotas, and maybe the warranty issue is not a huge concern for buyers buying into the brand. But it's quite interesting. Toyota, instead of doing service intervals, instead of doing a service plan, they do 6 services. So depending on, basically the car will tell you when you need to get it serviced. So they measure the service plan in a number of services rather than a time period. It's quite interesting.
Okay. So that's the new Toyota Fortuner Epic, priced from 660,000 Rand. Chira, if you don't feel like driving an Epic, you might soon be wanting to drive a Ford Ranger produced outside Pretoria. I've been getting some positive news coming through this week. The DTI announcing yesterday that the new Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone is trundling ahead. They're talking about 8,500 jobs being created. They're saying most of those will be created for local residents from Mamelodi and surrounding areas. I know Ford's already got its company headquarters in South Africa, in Pretoria. What's the idea for this big automotive zone, Chiro?
I really like to see this sort of thing. It seems government working hand in hand with the motoring industry to create these zones. I imagine there are tax incentives and that sort of thing that go on a bit behind the scenes, but this kind of investment really does create a lot of jobs. It takes manufacturing cars is quite a labor-intensive process, and it's something that South Africans do particularly well. I remember in a JD Power survey in America, I think that they rated the best-made car was a South African-made Mercedes-Benz C-Class, if I'm not mistaken, for 1 or 2 years running. So we do this particularly well as a nation. And it's quite interesting. Somebody once explained to me how this works. So if you're a Ford factory, or let's say you're a VW factory in South Africa, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll just automatically get contracted by the mothership to just make the next range of Polos or whatever it is. Apparently, each factory around the world actually sort of has to pitch to the OEM, the big brand, mm-hmm. in Germany or whatever, wherever it is, to get the contract to produce that next batch of cars. And then that's based on their previous performance and their previous build quality and that sort of thing. And Ford South Africa has put a lot of money, if I'm not mistaken, over 2 billion rand into making sure that they are the preferred manufacturer of Rangers in the world. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the big markets that they've managed to tap into because of having a manufacturing base in South Africa is the Nigerian market. So all of Nigeria's Rangers are sent over sort of in pieces, not as whole vehicles, to Nigeria where they're assembled and sold over there. Oh. So it's a big economic driver. If I'm not mistaken, this segment of the industry is responsible for something crazy like 7% of South Africa's entire GDP. So it's really, really important.
Okay, fascinating update, and thanks for giving us a bit of insight into what's going on the outskirts of Pretoria. They're talking about all construction work being completed by next June already, millions of rand being invested in local business support and training and mentorship for local micro enterprises. So if it all works out and if the money goes to the purposes for which it's intended, which is never a given, it could be very exciting. Okay, let's drill down to our own motoring questions. We've got Ross on the line from Thornton wanting to ask about a Honda Jazz. Welcome, Ross. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pippa. Maybe I'm speaking on your behalf as well, because you're a driver of a Honda Jazz. I hope you still are.
I still am.
It's curious. Yeah, it's curious to me, because I often follow these things and see, well, how is my choice with the rest of the South African public? Because it's that sort of medium type of car which people use all over the place. And yet I very rarely hear it featured as being a best value or even best seller. And I wondered if there was anything behind that that Ciro's expertise could explain.
Ciro, any thoughts?
I think one of the issues is that the Honda sort of... Honda South Africa battles to, because they bring all their cars in and they don't manufacture in this country and they don't get import credits from the government for units that they export, they are at the mercy of international exchange rates, which, as we know, are pretty volatile in this country. So I think Honda generally battles to price their cars competitively. So I'm just looking on the Cars Compare tool now, and I think the most affordable Jazz you can get into is just over 300,000 Rand, where you could potentially get into something like, say, a Suzuki Swift for 170,000 or a Ford Figo for 190,000. So I think the Jazz is the superior product, in my opinion. It's a car which in Europe is probably seen as, or is almost certainly seen as being in a segment above those other two cars that I've just mentioned in terms of fit and finish and luxury appeal and that sort of thing and comfort features. But in South Africa, because it's roughly the same size and serves roughly the same purpose, they get sort of compared directly, I think, out in the market. And then what you end up with is basically, I think South Africans are very price sensitive, and the Jazz sort of gets forgotten about. That being said, it's a car I recommend all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a safe bet in almost any purchasing decision. It's a great secondhand buy as well. The cheapest Jazz is 236,000. Okay. But that's still, when you're price sensitive, from 170 to 236 is quite a big jump, obviously, as well.
Okay, thanks very much for that feedback. And Ross, interesting question. Touch wood, mine's been ultra reliable. It's low on the fuel consumption. It's easy to park, and I have found it a very convenient car that's just kept on driving and has given me very few problems over the years. Touch wood. I hope I'm not inviting all kinds of disaster by saying that, Ciro. Thanks for the feedback.
No, then. Yep. They do have a fantastic reputation for reliability, and we have a lot of data to back that up as well. They're definitely some of the most reliable cars on our roads.
Okay. This is an interesting comment from somebody listening to your comments about the Toyota Epic, saying whenever Toyota releases an Epic or Legend model, it means a new model is on the way and they are just putting lipstick on a pig. Are they putting a lipstick on a pig with this one?
Yeah, that comment is not entirely wrong. Usually this happens sometimes at the office we call them sticker packs. So, you know, to squeeze the last bit of juice out of a model before the new one arrives, we always say the manufacturers put on these what we call sticker packs. It's a little bit cynical, but essentially they are just cosmetic upgrades and it just gives them a new name to market and, you know, new sort of adverts to put out there. I'm not sure there's a new Fortuna imminent. It's possible. I haven't seen anything about it, but usually cars have a 67-year life cycle or model generations, and I'm pretty sure this Fortuna came out in 2016. So I think it's probably still got a year or two left in it. So I don't think the next one is imminent.
Okay, thanks. We have to wrap there. Chira, as always, great to have you on the show, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you so much. Be safe.
You too. Chira De Siena of cars.co.za. Please go and check out their website. If you're in the market for a new car, if you want some ideas on pricing and what's available in your category of choice, and of course, check out their YouTube channel as well.